This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to Best Pets for Pets. So, you know, we're getting into the summer months. And, you know, every time I think about summer, I think about heat. I live in a warm place anyways, but it's always so hot. Then I think about when Mr. Zeus was in my life. He's in doggy heaven now. But this summer was always so hard on him because of either, you know, he got hot spots. And it was just, I don't know, hard time of year. My guest today has some great ideas for how to deal with skin issues and skin care in your dogs, which I think become exaggerated during summer. But maybe that's me. We'll hear more about it from her. So we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos. She is a DVM, CCRT, CVAT, and senior veterinarian, and she works with in her own practice as well as with Purina. Welcome, Dr. Ruth Ann. Can I call you Dr. Ruth Ann?
Oh, for sure. I'm excited to be here.
I'm very excited to have you on. We're going to be talking about the supplements that Purina has come out with for skincare. But before we tackle that, let's talk about dogs and skincare. So, you know, my loyal listeners know Mr. Zeus passed some time ago, but, you know, I had three fur babes, Nikki, for over a 30-year period of my life. So I'm very familiar with everything that happens in summer, and I've lived in warm climates. California is Southern California, now Southern Florida, which is even warmer. Is it in my head, or is summer just hard on our dogs besides the pavement being too hot for their little paws?
Yeah, it is not just in your head. But one of the things that's even kind of wilder about that is skin issues for the last like 13 years, according to Nationwide Pet, have been the number one reason why pet parents have brought their pets into the veterinarian. So it is 100% not in your head, and that it does get escalated even more in the summertime. And I kind of like to think about it as this, like, the threshold or the bucket theory. So you might have something that irritates your skin a little bit, or if we want to make it humans, it's somebody who irritates you just a little bit. But then if you have someone else who irritates you just a little bit as well, and someone else who irritates you a little bit just as well, and they're all together in the same room, like, your threshold for irritation and probably having it, you know, like an explosive moment, is going to go up. And the same is for our pets. So it's like, during the summer, they're a little bit hotter. And even though they don't sweat like we do as people, they do sweat through the pads of their paws, but usually they offload heat by panting. But it is warmer, and that oftentimes can amplify things. And then things are blooming, right? Like, I live in Boulder, Colorado, and this time of year, everything, even though we didn't have much of a winter this year, everything is still coming out of hibernation right now. And if you tap on the trees, there's this like green plume that comes from the branches.
Wow.
So you've got that starting to go on. Maybe they're swimming more. So now that extra, both their skin is getting wet more frequently and maybe not drying as well. And so you start to get kind of this combination add up to a big scenario, and their bucket overflows and we see them get itchy or get hot spots and things of that nature.
What about bugs and things like that sort?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Great question.
I think of skin allergies, but one thing I'm always want to be aware of are ticks. And if people think they only get them from hiking, not true. If you go to dog parks, whether they're in the mountains or not, your dog can pick up ticks. And even around the neighborhood, they could pick up ticks. I've had that experience. I mean, it's probably rare.
Oh, yeah. No. And especially this year, in a lot of parts of the country that did experience a shorter, warmer, drier winter, and those, I like to call them creepy crawlies, did not go into hibernation nearly as long as we would like them to. And actually, you know, flea allergy is the number one type of allergy in our dogs. And so I'll say that in the clinic a lot, and people are like, well, I don't see any fleas on my dog. And I'm like, it's not that you necessarily have to see the fleas. It's actually an allergic reaction to the saliva of that flea bite. So I kind of wish we would rename it like flea bite allergy instead of flea allergy, because I think that helps pet parents better understand that it's like if you are allergic to bee stings and you get stung, like your whole leg might swell up. I'm not allergic to bees. So if I get stung by a bee, I get a little welt, but it's not, you know, anything major that I need to have medication for and all of that. And it's similar for our dogs. So when our dogs are allergic to a flea bite, they get bitten by one and they feel like they are just crawling with fleas and they're just so very itchy. And that's actually the number one allergy that we see in our dogs is actually a flea bite allergy. And, you know, our ticks, like you said, I feel like this year you're seeing all over the news, like, tick bites are one of the number one reasons why humans are ending up in the emergency room this time of year. And it's not different from our dogs. And those ticks, like you said, they can live on grass. They can hop from one dog to another dog. They are not afraid.
People just need to be aware, because some people have misconceptions of, well, I give my dog, you know, flea medicine, so there's not going to, you know, I'm okay. You still have to check. And ticks, you know, people have their mindset of, oh, it's only if I'm climbing, you know, in the gorgeous mountains of Colorado. I've been to your state. It's amazing. But not true. They can happen anywhere. So one of the best ways to alleviate allergies is through diet. So please tell us, Dr. Ruth Ann, the Purina Pro Plan veterinary skincare supplement. How does this help?
Yeah. So what it does, so it's made up of, so I will take a step back in the fact that I want to let your listeners know that the supplement industry can kind of be like, I like to call it the wild, wild west. So there is very little regulation over what you say on the outside of your package and it needing to match what's on the inside of your package. So I always strongly recommend that whenever you're picking a supplement, it may seem very benign. It is an industry that is rapidly growing, both in the human space as well as the pet space. And, you know, you can scroll the screens on the internet. You can walk up and down the aisles of your favorite pet store, and they are packed with supplements, all making these very lovely, elaborate claims. But I would strongly, strongly recommend that you talk to your veterinarian about what supplements might be right for your specific pet. And then if they don't maybe make a specific recommendation, I always try to, because I know it can be so overwhelming when you go out there in the supplement industry and the supplement world for your pets. But if they don't make one, and or you come across one and you're like, hey, my neighbor uses this, to always go back to them and really have this conversation of like, hey, doctor, do you think that this is a, you know, is this a good quality supplement? Is this something that would be good for my pets? And that's twofold. One, of course, we want to make sure that if we are spending our dollars, that we're doing it on something that is going to help our pet in the way that we are trying to alleviate some issue. And then two, that it's not going to have anything that might hurt our pets in there. And so those are kind of, you know, I really, again, when we as veterinarians, and when I make a recommendation, it is my veterinary license that I am also putting on the line. So I do a lot of work looking at the companies behind that supplement, the research that's going to support whatever ingredients are in there, and the claims that manufacturer is making on that packaging. And if there is some sort of third party guarantee verification that, again, that what they say on the package matches what's inside, and there's nothing additional in there. And so that's one of the really great benefits, I feel like, working at Purina and having the backing of the checkerboard on the label here, is that, you know, we have nearly 500 researchers and scientists on staff at Purina, and it spans everything from veterinarians like myself to veterinary nutritionists to behaviorists to feeding specialists, because our dogs and our cats eat differently than we do as humans. And so we have a lot of expertise. And so you can feel comfortable when you give your pet something that has that Purina logo on it, that it has been researched thoroughly and has the science to back the claims that we are making on that packaging. And so with our skincare supplement, it's got this really fantastic blend of collagen, EPA and DHA, which are omega-3 fatty acids that come from marine sources, so that fish oil, that it's also got vitamin E and zinc. And so it really, those ingredients work together to support that natural protective barrier and really support skin health as well.
Dr. Ruthann, I'm glad you mentioned the studies and the research behind Purina, because in the pet industry, you have some small mom and pops, and then you have some giant corporations. And I hear different things all the time, I've been doing this, well, close to 20 years. So a lot of different guests on Best Bets for Pets. And there's also a huge plus, because a company like Purina does the research and everything, and you don't always get that with these smaller places. They'll just, you know, they put certain things on and you don't know that it's tested. So I think it makes a difference. I think, you know, you can't put all of the, you know, stereotypes of corporate companies in one spot.
Yes, I agree. And it's one of the reasons why I've been with Purina a little more than 20 years.
Wow.
And I continue to get impressed and get in a state of awe by the expertise that we have and the diligence that we take in every single ingredient process, even the people that we bring, you know, into our organization. Again, making sure that, you know, the pets' safety and health are our North Star every single day. And it's why, again, I've fed Purina since I was a small child, and that's what my parents fed. And, you know, when we had our dogs growing up. And so I, you know, it is something, again, for many decades that I've chosen to feed my pets, and they have all thrived and lived. I feel fortunate. You know, a lot of my dogs have made it to into their teen years. I just lost my German short hair pointer.
No, I'm sorry.
Who, like, 3 months shy of her 18th birthday.
Wow.
Like, I know.
Like, oh, sorry to hear that. But yeah, if you have a mid or large size breed that makes it to their teens, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And I attribute a lot of that to the fantastic nutrition and the expertise behind how we feed our pets and how we design our products at Purina.
All right, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Stewart.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails and who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking to Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos. She has a lot of titles. She knows a lot about supplements for your dog. She works with Purina. And we talked in the first half of the show about, all kinds of things. So, Dr. Ruth Ann, tell us about the supplement. What should people expect? Tell us about the dosage as well.
Sure. So it comes in a little chew that they get every day. And we all know, at least from my experience, that our pets love to have treats. I love to give my pets treats. So, you know, I will use this often as like another opportunity to be able to engage with my dogs at home by giving them the skincare supplement daily. So it does come in a soft chew form. And that's another bonus, is that we really put a lot of effort into not only making sure that it's got these great active ingredients in it that will help their skin, but that it also tastes good. So they will happily take their supplement. And then, you know, as I mentioned, it has the collagen in there. It's also got the EPA and DHA, which are those omega-3 fatty acids. And that we know, those are derived from fish oil, and they have a great anti-inflammatory properties. So they really help, again, if there is that irritation, maybe there's a break in that protective skin barrier from an allergen or because they've been swimming a lot or something of that nature. The EPA and DHA can help to kind of mitigate or calm down that inflammation that's there. Vitamin E and zinc help to promote that really strong immune system. And it also has some omega-6s in there. And those omega-6 fatty acids are really, again, important for the junction of your skin cells and making sure that, again, that barrier, that protective barrier of the dog's skin is nice and healthy. I think it's one of the things that people sometimes overlook is that the skin is actually the largest organ in a dog's body. And so really making sure that we support that in a very healthy and fruitful way allows them then to be out and about with us more often and more comfortably in life.
Thank you. Are there any other special treatments that pet parents should consider for their dog in the summer in addition to these supplements?
Sure. So we mentioned earlier, you know, about the creepy crawlies. So certainly having your dog on some sort of flea and tick preventative and making sure, again, that you're talking to your veterinarian about ones that are effective for your dog wherever they live, because there are different types of ticks out there and you want to make sure that they're protected. And the other things that certainly can be helpful for pet parents, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, I just need to keep bathing my dog. And really, like, most of the time, most dogs only need to be bathed about once a month. Now, obviously, that's going to vary a little bit if they're kind of getting in some mud, maybe quote unquote questionable water, like my Labrador likes to do on a regular basis. The more questionable, the more exciting it is for him. But, you know, but usually it's about once a month that they need to be bathed. But if they do come up with some allergies or sensitive skin, I think that's one of the bonuses that we have now in veterinary medicine, is that there are therapeutic shampoos and leave-on conditioners that may be appropriate. And again, talking with your veterinarian about that. Also, you know, I mentioned about like the green plumes that are happening now with all of the things that are blooming and around. It can be as gentle as just a wet washcloth and wiping down their paws. Or if you have a longer haired dog, again, kind of wiping off any of that pollen or dirt that may be, you know, irritating for them. Always, I recommend this all the time, whether, you know, you're just going to the dog park or you are going on an off-leash hike or adventure with your dog, to always, when you get back, do a check, you know, check in their, you know, in between their toes and their ears, in their little armpits and all of their little crevices, to, again, look for anything like a tick or a flea. But also if they've, you know, picked up something like a burr or a stick that, again, could get into their skin and cause more irritation. And then lastly, of course, foundational to all of this is going to be some good solid nutrition. A lot of times, I think that's the first thing that a lot of pet parents jump to as the cause for their dog's itchiness. But it's really only about, 4 to 6% of dogs out there are truly food allergic. But you do want, proper protein and proper fat and vitamins and minerals in that complete and balanced diet to set their skin up for ultimate success and health.
Thank you. And thank you for mentioning all of the areas for people to, for the fact that they need to do a double check on their pooch when they get back from their, hiking adventure, being out in the outdoors. It's so easy for dogs, especially long-haired or furry paw dogs, to end up with serious irritations. With the ProPlan supplement, is there any issues with allergies in this product? Should we check before giving it to our dogs with our vet?
Sure. Yep. I think that's a great call out. If they are on, say, like a hypoallergenic diet or they do have a true food allergy, you would want to check with your veterinarian before you give them anything, even like a little treat or dropping something on the floor. You would, when you're cooking, you would certainly want to, always check with your veterinarian before putting them on a supplement that may cause a flare if they have a true food allergy.
This is just for dogs. Is there one for cats coming in the near future?
Yeah. So we are always looking at ways that we can help to support both our cats and dogs. So I would say stay tuned.
Cats are always second. So I get it. That's because they're much like their, what was it that they share 95% of their DNA with? Tigers?
I think so. I think that sounds, if I remember correctly.
That So that's why it's so hard on them. So what, if you could leave pet parents with one tip for, making their dog's summer easier, less itchy, what would you tell them?
Ooh, I only get one? That's a...
Two. We want them to take the supplement. We want them,
Yes, well, of course.
Five is good.
So certainly would love, them to, again, talk with their veterinarian about the skincare supplement. It is available through their veterinarian, but also on Amazon and Chewy. So they have access to different places. They don't need a prescription from their veterinarian to be able to buy it. So certainly I would love that. I would also really, really love for them to take seriously the flea and tick control and doing that post-adventure check. So that I see oftentimes, again, if you've got that longer haired dog or even, sometimes on Labradors, they can hide things really, really well in their shorter coats. So really, it only takes about 60 seconds to look in their paws and all their little crevices and just make sure that there's nothing there that they may have brought home that you would not like to have in your house, or that they may have hurt themselves. And if we catch it early, that can help them have more adventures together later in the summer.
Thank you. You know what else? I like the idea of having a first aid kit with me, pet first aid kit.
Oh, yes. Yes. That could be a whole nother topic for us.
That is a whole nother. And are you familiar with Clotit?
I am not.
True story, I was with my Havanese moving, his whole nail came off. So I think Clotit's the brand name. I've heard Pepper works, but it stings. It's a powder that you could put on their, because the nail just ripped off. He's
sure.
I don't know what in the world. And it was, of course, Sunday. And he was fine otherwise. So we put the Clotit. It helps stop bleeding.
Okay. So it may be something similar. I have a product called Quick Stop that we have, that I carry as well in my first aid kit that, again, you just kind of put
Quick
it on
stop,
there.
Right. Something like that is great. And also, I think some of these first aid kits have tick tweezers.
Yes. Yep.
So those kind of things are pretty good. What else would you suggest?
Yeah. So on that note on ticks, I have become a big fan. It's a product called Tickmit. And it looks kind of like a giant glove that you might put on your hand. And it has some really good data to support how it effectively, again, you just kind of wipe it down. You can use it on yourself and your dogs. And it has this special design that helps to remove the ticks. Now, if they're embedded, that's a different story. They do have a little tool that comes with it to be able to remove it. But if they haven't quite attached yet, it's a great way to be able to get them off and have them then stuck in the tick mitt instead of on you. You know, I love that. One of the things that people don't often think about to include in their first aid kit, I love a good slip lead. So that can be, again, your veterinarian can probably, they probably have one at the clinic that they use and hand out that have their phone number on it and that sort of thing. But it can be used certainly as an additional leash, but then it can also be used as a muzzle, because oftentimes if our dogs get hurt, it is their protective instinct to protect themselves. And we see a lot of times that that pet parent will maybe, you know, get a wound from their dog when they're trying to actually help their dog. And then obviously it could be used in a pinch as a tourniquet, and it's so lightweight. So I love a good slip lead. And then I also love a good sling. So if you are going out, you know, we are fortunate to live here in Colorado, and I get to hike a lot with my dogs. And if I'm 2 or 3 miles into a hike, you know, then my Labrador is 70 plus pounds. And then Journey, my wire hair pointing Griffon, is 50 pounds. And so if one of them gets hurt, that's a long way to try to get them out. And so having a good pet specific emergency sling is, again, something that's super lightweight, but then can get your pet, you and your pet, to safety and to care really quickly versus, you know, trying to carry them out.
Wow. These are some amazing tips. Thank you so much. Can you tell us again where everyone can buy Purina Pro Plan skincare veterinary supplements?
Yeah, so you can get our skincare supplements on Amazon, Chewy, and then at your local veterinary clinic.
Dr. Ruth Ann, I want to thank you so much for coming on Best Bets for Pets.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you all enjoyed the show. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos. Thanks to Purina Pro Plan for sending the supplements. I definitely, you know, from experience, I know that Purina does a lot of research on the product. I know this is not a paid sponsorship, but one thing I do like is that they have a lot of scientists and testers and staff, and I could really appreciate that. And they also do a lot of passion projects like the Purple Leash Project. You can find that out at Purina.com. Also, I'd like to thank my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. My doggies are over the Rainbow Bridge. Thank you, Mr. Z, and Nikki, for always giving me fond memories. Thank you to my listening audience. I so appreciate you listening to Best Bets for Pets for, almost 20 years I've been doing this. Woo, a lot of products. And of course, the show would not be the same without the magic of my producer, Mark Winter. So thank you so much, Mark. And keep listening. You never know what we'll have next on Best Bets for Pets.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.